Welcome to the Motherhood Unfiltered podcast. We are a group of moms striving to bring balance to motherhood with lots of laughs and some tears along the way. We seek to walk alongside you in this journey as we learn and grow from one another.
Okay, so today we have Danielle Cisneros with us. Thank you for joining us, Danielle. I appreciate you giving us your time today.
I'm so excited to be here.
We're really excited to have you. So Danielle is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she's been working with children as a licensed marriage and family therapist since 2007. She currently works as a high school counselor, and she serves as a Sunday school teacher at her local church. Previously, her husband and her had served as youth pastors when they first got married. Now they reside in Temecula, California, and they have two children, Gigi and Liam. They're adorable. One is 7 years old. She was diagnosed with a learning disability, and Liam is a feisty 3.5-year-old, full of life and adorable as well. Both of her children are just really kind souls. So I'm really glad to be hearing from you as a mom and getting your input. Danielle is also a personal friend of mine and a mentor. She's been a mentor of mine in my career for many years and just in life. So thank you so much for joining us.
Love you, Brittany.
Love you too. So Danielle, is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about yourself?
I work full-time, and I also have a part-time job with a private practice. So I am quite busy, but being a mother is the greatest calling and the highest calling I believe that anybody, any woman can have. And I feel very honored to be here today and excited to share some of my experiences as a mom with your listeners.
Good. Thank you so much. So today you wanted to share with us a little bit about your experience in looking past fear and into your child's heart.
Yes. I just feel like fear and worry is inevitable as a mother. There's going to be different times as a mom where you feel more worried than other times. And it also depends on how prone you are to worry. You may go through times of your child's life where you feel very confident and not worried because you're already not prone to worry, but then your child may turn a different age and something else pops up for them that you weren't expecting. So being a mom and feeling worry is inevitable. It's how much you worry and how you manage it that's important. And always knowing that our children belong to God and that we're there managing the situation a lot of times, but we don't own them. He owns them and they're ultimately his responsibility. So what I found about managing my fear in parenting has been most effective for me is where I lay my focus. That's what I would like to talk about today.
Okay. And that is a really great reminder as well that our children do belong to God. So Danielle, what are some specific fears that you see moms maybe in private practice or at school, or maybe even in your own personal experience being a mom, what are some specific fears that moms face and struggle with?
One of the fears that I've come across myself specifically is afraid of what God is asking from me, especially with my daughter having a learning disability and learning in a way that I've never heard of before. Sometimes it can be overwhelming thinking about, well, what does this exactly mean? Or you may have a child that's exceptionally gifted and say, well, I don't know how to be, he hits a baseball very well. And my family never played baseball. What does it mean to be part of a team? What's travel ball? Or it could go either way. It could be because there's any daunting task that you don't feel accustomed to. You can be afraid of, and I've been afraid of what's God asking of me. Secondly, feeling inadequate. Feeling not enough for what your child's needs are. How am I supposed to mother and take care of the whole house? How am I supposed to be emotionally available for the soul and get the laundry done? Yeah. And plan my meals and budget.
Those are real questions.
Yes. Right? So there can be feelings of inadequacy. And then a big one is the fear of the unknown. The future, what if this, what if that? There's constant what ifs attached to children because you don't know how they're going to respond to things. Obviously, they're other people. They're not you. You know how you right. might respond to something, but you don't know how they're going to respond to it. So the what ifs, what if I can't keep up? What if they can't go to college? What if they pick up on my weakness? What if they don't make friends? There's just so many different what ifs. And then fear of judgment. That can be from a specific family member that you know is going to judge you because you're homeschooling your kids, because you're choosing, you know, not to give them a bedtime or to give them a bedtime, or you're choosing to bathe them every other day and not every day, or you bathe them every day so you're going to dry out their skin, you know, or right. what we post on social media, what are people going to think? What about how, when your child acts in public? There's all this judgment yeah. that can go around.
Yeah, that's and so those true.
Those are some fears that I have seen and I've experienced myself.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy to fear judgment, especially like what you're saying with being so present on social media in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. It's just so easy for us to, you know, think, oh, you know, somebody could see this picture, see the laundry piled up in the back of this picture, then they're going to think I'm a bad mom, right? There's so right. many fears that just pile up. That's
right.
a really great point. And also the point that you made of being fearful of inadequacy. What if I'm not enough for him? I know even Noah being 6 months old, there are times that I'm like, he's just so amazing. Like, I don't even think that I am qualified for this. Like, he's too amazing for me. Like, maybe he does need to be in daycare with someone that's just like extraordinary, just because that fear of inadequacy is so real in motherhood. Yes. It's a struggle for sure. So how would you say that we get past these fears and to our child's heart?
One story that stood out to me in the Bible was the story of Mary and Elizabeth. And this is obviously about women, but they're both pregnant. And it really could be an analogy for older women mentoring younger women. But I feel as mothers, we are mentoring our children. And we're modeling for them and we're giving them advice and we are the shoulder they cry on and we're guiding them. And so I took a lot of comfort in this story and a lot of direction. And I just, there's a lot of things that I try to apply when I'm parenting. And the first thing is that Elizabeth was available for Mary. You know, Mary walked to Elizabeth's house pregnant and she was waiting for her. And as mothers, we need to work on being available and approachable. And this is something for me that I have to work on all the time, that my face isn't just always at a computer, that my kid doesn't grow up remembering, you know, me in the back of my head and a screen in front of me, or me looking at my phone, that children are, you know, you feel like, well, we live together. They knock on the door when I'm in the bathroom. Like, how much more available can you get? But it's them knowing right. that you're actually present for them and them feeling that you're present and that you're available to hear them. And I've heard someone say this before, and it's really true. If you don't give them the impression you care about their stories when they're four, what would make them think when they're 14 and they want to come to you that you're all of a sudden going to be open to what they want to say?
So true. So good.
You want your children to be able to come to you. And there's been times where I'm busy and I'm, you know, my child's talking and Gianna has, you know, speech problems, or it could even be Liam. And I'm going, yeah, yeah. And I turn around and they're looking at me, their little face. And I'm like, what did they just say? I don't even know, you know? And so, or I say, yeah, And my husband will say, do you know what you just said yes to? And I don't sometimes. So this is something I have to work on myself all the time.
Being mentally present.
Yes.
Emotionally absolutely. Present. Yeah.
Yes. And so another thing about being present with them is validating their feelings. There's yeah. been times myself I've said, why are you crying? Or that's not a reason to cry. That's not being present with them in that moment. A positive touch and a affirmation of feelings. It doesn't mean you're giving them what they want. They're crying because they didn't get another cookie. It doesn't mean, oh, I want you to know I know exactly how you feel, so here's another cookie. No.
Right.
Rubbing their back and saying, oh, it's so disappointing when we really want something, we don't get it. That must be right. very disappointing for you. I'm sorry, bud.
you're getting the cookie, yeah. but I'm sorry you feel that way, you know, and
yeah,
and just being that really makes them feel like you're joined with them and you're not going, oh, they're not in one reality, you're in another, because they're, you're feeling so different than they are. So
right.
that's being available and approachable. The second thing was being spirit led. When Mary went to Elizabeth, the Bible says that the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women." When we are moms, it's hard to find prayer time sometimes. It's hard to find time alone with God. Sometimes you're in the back of your mind, you're talking to God all day as you're washing the dishes, as you're folding laundry, as you're rocking your baby, or you're hearing your toddler tantrum or whatever. You're talking to, "Lord, give me the words to speak right now, God. Help me, Lord Jesus, to know what to say that they'll understand or they'll hear me." A lot of times we can self-judge ourselves, you know. We'll say, "If I was a good mom, I wouldn't have just done this. If I was a good mom, I would do this. If I was right. a good mom, if I was a good mom, if I..." And so we're just judging ourselves and not having grace with ourselves. When you don't have grace with yourself, you're not going to have it with your children.
Yeah.
So giving ourselves grace, walking in the Spirit, knowing that if we don't have the prayer life we used to have, we still need to make those points of contact whenever we absolutely can, but not to judge ourselves for it. The judgment, it just, judgment is like a cancer and it sucks you dry of any fruits of the Spirit. So being led of the Spirit. Another is words of affirmation. So when Mary went to Elizabeth, she said, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" When Mary came to Elizabeth, she made it about her. She made it about Mary. She could have easily saw Mary there and go, "You will never believe what happened to me." Well, first Zacharias, he wasn't speaking for like a whole month. It was great. I mean, no complaint. I mean, she could have just gone on and on, but she didn't. She said, "Look at you. Look at you."
Yeah.
And those words of affirmation are so important for our child. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to obedience, I want to be heard the first time and I want to be obeyed the first time. And I try to expect that as much as I can and lead my children in that way as much as I can. But when it comes to words of affirmation, those have to be repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. It's very necessary. It doesn't mean when your child does something good, like make their bed, you have to go over the moon and go, "There's no child in the world like you. You are the best human being that's ever been born." No.
Let's over the top.
Right. No, but look at all the hard work you did. Wow. Right. It really shows. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Wow, you're really good at that. I love when you make your bed because you do it so well. If it's true, maybe they don't. Right. But you can just say, "Wow, look at the effort you put in. I can really see it." I mean, maybe just say that, but just affirming.
Thanks
them
for trying.
Yeah, exactly. E for effort.
So going back to the first point of being just available and approachable, you had given an example of if your child is, you know, complaining because they want another cookie and screaming and crying and getting down at their level and being able to engage your logical thinking to say, "Oh, that must be so hard. You're not getting what you want. And sometimes we don't get what we want. And I can see why you're so sad right now. And I'm here for you." Like still being available and present and approachable, but still maintaining those boundaries as well.
Yes.
That sometimes, like as moms, there's also that mom guilt that sets in. That's like, "Well, I don't know. Should I just give him another cookie?" That guilt of like, "Well, he doesn't have to cry over a cookie. It's just a cookie. You know what? I'll just extend it one more cookie." But still maintaining that boundary in a really healthy way, I think is actually modeling really incredible strengths for your child. That I can sit with you in your frustration. I can sit with you in this time of difficulty, and it's not going to bend the boundaries that I've already placed.
Right.
And I think that that is even teaching them to be able to sit in their frustration, but also to have grace on themselves. Like you were saying, as moms, we need to have grace on ourselves. But also for them learning to sit in that frustration, that's just part of life.
That's right.
As an adult, you're going to have to do that as well.
And we get frustrated sometimes and we say things that we shouldn't. And we invalidate their feelings and say, and afterwards go, oh, that was kind of mean, or that was being really, I was really upset. I overreacted. It's okay for you to model for them to say sorry.
Yeah.
And to say, you know, mommy shouldn't have talked to you like that. I'm really sorry. Let's try again. Help them learn to reset. We're going to have a better day. We don't have to have a bad day because we had a bad moment. We can reset and have a better day. So,
gosh, it goes that's both like ways. Such a beautiful description of grace to on ourselves and with our children, that it's okay to make mistakes. Like, mistakes will happen. But being able to go back and trying to correct when we've made a mistake, I think that actually speaks more to a child's heart than the mistake that we made or the perfection that we're trying to live. Being able to go back and say, oh, mom really messed up and I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Tomorrow we're going to be, you know, so much better and we're going to start again. Or I don't know, whatever it might be, but that ability to even ask for forgiveness to your child is
and take responsibility for behavior. It's very important too, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really teaching your child to take responsibility for behavior. That's such a great point that you make. And also the story from the Bible that you pulled from between Mary and Elizabeth, I think that not only like teaches us how we can look at our children and make them the limelight of whatever's going on, but also towards other moms. Like, that was Mary and Elizabeth were both pregnant. So, you know, when you're pregnant, it's just a really fun, exciting time usually for,
well, especially for they're both first time moms. So definitely, like, they didn't have a 2-year-old waking them up in the middle of the night while they're 7 months pregnant.
Yeah. And so for,
they were taking naps all day.
Right. And for someone in that position, they could have easily made it about themselves. Yes. But having that that mom friendship in your life where we can also turn to another mom to, you know, give them that space too.
Yes. The next thing was setting aside our own agenda. And back in verse 42, you know, Elizabeth, you know, when she greeted Mary, she was just so excited. And, you know, there's two types of people that walk in a room. There's people that walk in the room and say, here I am. And there's people that walk in the room and say, there you are. And we want our children to say that there you are to us. Because we've been setting aside our own agenda for them.
Yeah.
It's not about us.
Yeah.
You know, and there's boundaries and there's times we have to get things done. And there's times you need to take a hot bath or you need to go in your closet and pray, and they need to wait. But if your mode of operation is constantly checking off your checklist all the time, your child will get the overwhelming sense that you're too busy. And this is, I love checklists. I love to-do lists. I love to go down them and put a big check mark. It's like really gratifying to me personally. And so this is also something that I work on myself, is for them to feel like they are more important than what I'm doing right now in general. I know that's a very general statement, but most of the time you can put something aside for 2 minutes, at least to address them and say, I cannot wait to hear that story, honey. I'm so excited. Give mommy a few more minutes. Okay.
Yeah. That's sometimes with little kids, all they need is just a few minutes of your time every day.
So, and that's hard when you've got a little kid who is every, you know, maybe feels like every 5 to 10 seconds saying, mommy, look, 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 look.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
can be draining.
Yeah. It can be very draining. And multitasking is something that's really worshiped in our society. It's like, unless you can multitask, you're really nothing. That's kind of the message, you know. So why can't you work part-time if your kids are 10 and 12? I don't get, what are you doing all day?
Right.
You know, or what, it's very looked down on. But really, multitasking is a robber and a thief. You cannot give your full attention to your job, your child, your housework, your meal planning, your budget, your church. You can't. So making sure you understand that your children are a priority in your life.
Yeah.
And they're older, you will have a perfectly clean house. and your dishes will always be out of the sink. And that, you know, there won't be toys one day. There won't be any toys anymore, or any bottles to wash or anything like that. So it's very easy to get caught up in the culture of multitasking, but it can rob our time and attention from our children. And then the next thing is pointing out how God is at work in your child's life. When you see God working, validate that for them. Point that out for them. They may not see that. Obviously praying with them, praying around them, sharing when God does something, letting them know that if you can, letting them know. So, and another thing is encouraging them to take God at his word. Sometimes your child is, sometimes we want to save them. And I especially a daughter that has a learning disability, believe me, I have mentors in my life I have to bounce things off with, because when I feel that anxiety coming on where I feel like I'm going to put her in harm's way, you know, where she'll be rejected, or what if she doesn't fit in, and she has, sometimes she has a hard time making friends, and I worry. And I have a mentor in my life who checks me and says, because I don't want to take away from God showing her that he's with her and that he can do miracles in her life. And there's going to be times where she'll come to me, and I'm sure, and there'll be some situation, and I want to encourage her to take God at his word and to step out on faith. So that's another thing that I feel will help you to get to your child's heart, to look past your fear and look into your child's heart.
Yeah. And that really encourages courage in their heart. It really harvests the spirit of courage in your child. And I think that that's something that all of us, as moms, all of us want our children to have, even though the process of harvesting courage in them can be kind of a daunting task when it's like, you know, like that, those fears start to creep up. But when we know that God is in control, that is God's child too. And we want them to know that they can trust in God. Just like, you know, as parents, we don't have it all figured out. And there are times we're just trusting in God, right? Like, just, that's just real life. When we don't have every answer, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And we want our children to learn those lessons in life that, that they can't, there's going to be things that they can turn to us for an ear, but we don't have the answers. And so we want them to learn that ability to trust God through those times. And so that encouraging them to take God at his word is really just growing that courage inside of them. Yeah. And so what are some things that you see that can hinder us getting past the fear to our child's heart?
I think to summarize it is, you know, maybe wanting validation. You spend so much time being a mother. You think about it so much. It's so easy to wrap your complete identity in it. It is part of who we are.
Right.
So if we, sometimes there's an imbalance in the identity when somebody is looking to mothering as the validation for who they are, right? So if my child does well, that automatically means I'm a great parent. And if my child doesn't do well, that automatically means I was a horrible parent. Parenting has a huge influence on children. Absolutely. Does not always mean it's to our credit, and it doesn't always mean it's to our fault completely. Children are their own people. And they're going to make their own decisions. And so I'm understanding that being a parent is a very behind the scenes work. And we don't always know what other people, what went wrong with some a situation or why a child's behaving that way, that we don't have the backstory. And so when our child isn't behaving properly, we don't need to worry about people that don't speak into our lives, that aren't our mentors, judging us, because they're not there and they don't know. They just don't know.
Right.
And sometimes that judgment can come, I think usually comes out of their own fear. They feel like sometimes people can feel if they can diagnose a problem, or they can, you know, say this happened because of this and that won't happen to them. As moms, not learning to let go and worrying. If somebody you know loves you and speaks into your life, pulls you aside as a mom and says, you're going to hurt your child if you talk to them that way, I would listen. I would say, you're right. I need to work on that. But if they don't know me and they don't know my life, and they're just seeing me on the surface and I hear that they judged me, that's okay. It's, they can judge me. God's given them that ability to do that, but I don't need to change what I'm doing based on that.
Right.
So, and then short-sightedness.
Go ahead. Having a little bit of thicker skin as a mom.
Yes.
It kind of leads to, we can't just take every word that everyone has to say about our life, because you'd just be running in circles to try to please everyone.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And you won't get to your, what your child really needs. And then also short-sightedness can hinder us from getting to our child's heart. If we don't realize that this, when they're little, it's just a season. When they're teenagers, it's a season. There's going to be a season of your life when they're 20 and you're like, honey, did you hear from Liam today? Have you, or this week, has he called? You know, right now he's at my heels biting, you know, biting them. But one day I know he's, is he dating that girl I saw with them on Facebook? Did he tell you anything about that? Yeah, I know that's going to happen.
Yeah, if they still have Facebook then.
Right? Yeah, whatever. That's for, Mom, it's already for old people. Facebook. It's already for old people. So, so anyways, but I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is, you know, this is just a season.
We don't have this season forever.
Yes, right. And so short-sightedness can hinder us from getting to our child's heart as well.
Yeah, I love that. Just realizing that our child is only a child for a season. Yes. Even though they'll always be our child, our children, they are going to grow up. Just like we were our own parents' child at some point. Yes. And now we are, you know, grown with children of our own and living on our own, thinking for ourselves. That's going to be our kids someday.
Yes.
And so understanding that, what are they going to be like when they're in that season of their life? What are we putting in them now that is going to sow into them as an adult?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Sometimes just getting in that day-to-day moment of, I am so exhausted because, well, right now I'm in the six-month-old phase. So sometimes it's like, I'm so exhausted because he woke me up 3 times to eat. And it's just like, I'm so tired, but then still like thinking, well, there's still things we need to work on every day, like tummy time and working on him crawling and reading to him because he still needs to develop, even though I'm exhausted because last night we woke up 3 times.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Looking past the current moment. Okay. Well, was there anything else that you wanted to share?
No, I just thank you for having me. This is a real honor and a blessing, and I appreciate you and I appreciate what you're doing. And I just pray for this ministry and all the moms out there, and hope that someone will find some encouragement in our talk today.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who joined in to listen to this podcast and sat with us in this space as Danielle dove into a deeper understanding of the fears as a mom that we might face and how we can look beyond those fears into our child's heart to guide them into adulthood.
Thank you for having me, Brittany. And I just want to leave a thought before we end. And that's just about taking care of ourselves. I know that's a self-care is kind of a sometimes overused and to the plain, but you know, it's so important. It's so important. And whatever you have to do to get that, sometimes you have to, for some people, it would be getting up a little bit earlier to have 10 minutes with the Lord or to journal for 10 minutes. Some people, it would be asking your spouse if you could sleep in one day a week. Some people, it would be asking your spouse if one day a week you can have 30 minutes in your room uninterrupted to take a bubble bath or read something or snap or, you know, something. But ask for help when you need it, because your children depend on your emotional well-being and your physical well-being for their memories. So take care of yourself. You deserve it.
I love that. Thank you so much, Danielle, for those final words on self-care. And thank you for just giving us your time today and pouring into us here at Motherhood Unfiltered and giving us some of your words of wisdom on looking past fear and into our children's hearts and raising them into adulthood.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us. If you haven't already, we want to welcome you to connect with us on Instagram @_motherhoodunfiltered. Thanks again for joining us.